Last week we looked into the question, what is God's grace? And we looked at abiding hope. And we found out that grace is the freely given, unmerited favor and love of God. It's something that we can't afford, and it's something that we can't buy. It's something that God gives us. And it's kind of unexplainable. And we spend our whole lives kind of struggling with that. Like, why would God love me so much? I'm not very lovable. You know, even those of us, you know, that are kind of happy and outside, let's face it, we all have that inside that's not very pretty. And we kind of think, you know, God, why could you do that? Well, He does. And another part of that is God's grace is the influence of God's Spirit operating in humans to regenerate or strengthen them. God is always in the power of regenerating us and strengthening us when we come to Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's an amazing process. It's not an easy process, but it is an amazing process. And thirdly, we looked at it is a virtue of excellence of divine origin. You know, so many times people talk about this person is so graceful. That gift came from God. A lot of times people forget, or people don't know, especially if they don't know God or they don't know Christ, they just think, that person is just so naturally gracious. That person got that gift from God. Even if they don't identify it, even if they don't recognize it, even if they don't, everything comes from God, okay? All of these grace giftings come from God. The wonderful thing is when we come to know God, they come into their fruition. They come into their fullness. And the last part of grace is this, the condition of being in God's favor and one of His elect. That blows me away. You know what blows me away is God just went, you're mine. When I was little, I still am. I'm a terrible basketball player. You know, I always thought that if you got a hold of a ball, you should run with it and knock people over. Maybe that's why I like football. But I was, and so I was always picked last in the neighborhood, and it really bothered me for a long time. What really bothered me one time is my dad was playing and he picked me last. You know, I was the only one left and I was on his team. For God to look at us and say, you are special, I'm picking you. Doesn't that kind of blow you away? That's God's grace. That's His grace. And so when you find yourself overwhelmed by the love and the power of God, you can only define it, you can only explain it in one way. God is perfect and God is gracious and God loves us. And He loves us with an unfailing love that is beyond anything that we could comprehend. And we just need to try to understand it more and more every day. And I hope that today, and I hope last week, I hope we came to a little bit of that understanding. You see, there was a definition of grace, kind of summed it up. It says, divine grace is the voice that calls us to change and then gives us the power to transform into a grace-filled life. Divine grace is the voice that calls us to change and then gives us the power to transform into a grace-filled life. How many times have you been in a situation in your life when somebody told you to do something or somebody told you to change something, but they did not give you the divine power, they did not give you the authority, they did not give you the knowledge or the wisdom to change it? And so you either didn't quite meet the expectations or you failed. And God is not in that camp. God is the divine God, and He is the voice that calls us to change, and then He gives us the power to transform into a grace-filled life. That's our God. That is our God. And He loves us beyond anything we can imagine. And that's what when I talk about the grace giftings, I get so wrapped up in them, because everything that we get from God is grace. Every gift that we get from God is grace. But these three gifts that we're looking at, and we're going to, next week, we're going to look at love, okay? That may take a little longer. But this week, we're looking at faith. You know, we found out what the greatest gifts are in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we talked about those. But what is faith? What is faith? Okay? Faith has two main components. When you look at faith, when you break it down, it has two main... Faith has a lot of different facets. Faith is just incredibly enormous when we start talking about faith. Well, when we start talking about hope, faith, or love, the Bible, it just inundates us with just a huge amount of promises and information. But faith has two main components. And the first one, okay, is this. It's being sure of what we hope for. In Hebrews 11:1, we find these two components. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Now, you know, if we just read this and say, that's faith. Now, I want you to go this week and have faith. That would not be very nice of me as a pastor, would it? So we're going to break it down a little bit, okay? It is being sure of what we hope for. Now, I'm going to ask you a question to help you define this. What are you hoping for right now? Sometimes you're hoping that the pastor's short so you can get to Perkins before everybody else, okay? But what are you really hoping for, okay? Being sure of what we hope for. What are you really hoping for? What are you hoping for? Let's change it up a little bit. What are you hoping for that you are sure you're going to get? Whoa. Remember Christmas when you were a kid and you hoped for all kinds of things? You know, I was pretty sure a couple times that I was going to get something. But you know, with God, it's so amazing because sometimes we don't think about this. What am I hoping for that I'm sure I'm going to get, okay? I'm hoping, and we can all hope for these things. Here's a couple things just to spur your memory, just to kind of get you going down the right path here. We can hope and we can be sure for a greater understanding of God's love. I can remember when God started just opening up the scripture to me as a young Christian. I was so blown away. I can remember certain places in my spiritual walk where God just, he opened up so much it was overwhelming, and I just had to back up a little bit. And I had to kind of sort it out, and I had to pray about it, and I had to let God, you know, bring that reality into my life. I remember when my family went to church ever since I can remember. Not a lot, but we knew what church was. Growing up, church was someplace you sat and you didn't move, your grandma would pinch you. That was church. And then church became a place where my dad changed just overnight. So scary. It was back in the 70s. I was pretty sure the aliens snatched his body. And then church became the understanding that Jesus Christ died for me. And my hope, right there, my first hope, our first hope, is this. I am hoping and I am sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm sure that God loves me enough. He sent Jesus Christ to die for me. And that just wipes us out. Another thing is we can hope and we know for certainty that Jesus not only died for our sins, not only went to heaven, but he sent us the Holy Spirit so that we could understand and enjoy all of these grace gifts that we're talking about. These are things that we can hope for. A greater understanding of his love. A greater infilling of his Holy Spirit. How about, you know, can you think about this? Faith is hoping that a love will grow between you and someone. Faith is hoping that your love will grow towards the people around you. Remember last week I talked about when God changed my heart towards kids. I like kids. I like my kids. Other people's kids, not so much. And then God broke my heart. So I know that I can hope for something. And even before God did that, I was like, you know, God, I need to have a greater love and a greater understanding. I need to have more. And that's what faith is. Faith is knowing that God's got it and he's going to give it to you. Having that hope. Having that hope. How about the hope of health? We're hoping desperately for the health of Rand Lynn's grandson and our granddaughter. We hope and pray for the health of everyone in this body. And for people outside of this body, don't we? And we pray with faith. We hope that we will understand God's word in a greater way. And we know that we will. Because all of these promises God has given us, we've experienced a lot of them, and some of them that we haven't experienced because of past experiences of hope fulfilled. We have faith that God is good, God is just, God is faithful, and He will do it. And that is what we're sure that we hope for. We are sure of it. But to have faith, now this is crazy, listen to this. To have faith, not yet, to have faith, we got to have hope. Think about it. If you don't have hope, you don't have faith. And if you don't have faith, you don't have hope. They're two in the same. Last week we talked about hope. Hope being a building block into faith, and faith being a building block into love, and love being a building block into faith, and faith being a building, and it just spirals, and it goes on and on and on, and it builds, and it builds, and it grows. It's not like they're individual grace gifts. They're three grace giftings packaged in one, just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. Faith, hope, and love are three in one. You can't have faith without hope. You can't have hope, okay, without faith. And you can't experience love if you don't have faith and hope. It's all tied together into one. Three grace giftings given to us by God. How? In one package. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give you faith. Yeah, you're doing pretty good. Now you can have hope. Yeah, you're not doing too bad. Now you can have love. No, He says, I'm going to give you faith, hope, and love. Boom. And then we're like, to understand one greater, we understand the other's greater, and vice versa. So here we have faith, and we have to have hope. Our faith grows as we see what? Hope's fulfilled. I talked about that just a little bit ago. Our faith grows as we see hope's fulfilled, okay? Now, I'm going to ask you another question. On a scale of 1 to 10, where's your faith? Boy, this is a tough one. I even put a place on your little outline on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your faith right now, today? Are you struggling with something? Is it pretty good? It's going to change. It's going to change. Man, I tell you, I've been at places where my faith was like maybe -1, right? Come on. Let's be real. I was like, really, God? I did not sign up for this. What are you doing? This is crazy. I don't know if I want to continue doing this. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, please. Lord, could you just kill the neighbor's dog, please? Lord, anything, right? We've all been there, okay? But on 1 to 10, where are you at right now? Okay, now I'm going to challenge you, okay? If your faith is high, it is because you have an extensive hope list. And if your faith is low, you need to put more things on your list. Think about it. Some people, as Christians, they retire. You know, I remember when we planted this church, there was a lady, and she was in her twilight years. She says, "I just don't know if there's anything I can really do for God. I've kind of done it all." And trust me, this lady had done it all. She was, you know, in her mid late 70s, pushing 80. She'd done it all. And we got her in a Bible study called INSTA, Institute for Theology by Extension. And one of the things in that is they teach you how to just share Jesus. And I remember sitting in that class, and she's like, "I could have used this about 60 years ago." And man, she took that and she ran with it. She got more people saved, I think, in the last 5 years of her life than she, you know, could imagine. We don't retire. What's your hope list? What's your hope list? If God has filled out some things in your hope list, you need to put some more things on the bottom. Look around. What's your hope list? What's your hope? Man, I tell you what, I could give you all kinds of hope list things, right? There's all kinds of things. The quickest way to build a hope list is look around you and find 5 unsaved people and start praying for them. Or 5 Christians that are just ornery and start praying for them. They need it too, right? Right? You're hopeless. What is your hopeless? Because the higher your hopeless is, probably the more you're exercising your faith and the more your faith is growing. If you don't have something to hope for, if you don't have something to... Paul said, "I press on to the calling and the high mark of Jesus Christ. I press on." Paul wrote this when He was an older gentleman when he'd been imprisoned and tortured and all kinds of, but he said, I'm still pressing on. And until I die, I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep doing it. Make a hope list, okay? You know, I'm going to share a story. Early on at Solid Rock Church, we had, you know, we've always had Bible studies. We love Bible studies. We love small groups. And we had this Bible study going, and this young lady, single mom, we didn't know her, she shows up to this Bible study. And she's very gracious. She sits through the Bible study, and she says, you know, this is all great, and I know Jesus, and I've been studying the Bible, but I came here to this church because I need something. And I said, okay, what do you need? She said, I need a husband. Well, we were a little short on single men back then. We didn't have a whole lot of them, you know. And I said, well, I said, okay. And the Holy Spirit, I just knew that God was going to do something amazing. Do you ever just know that? When somebody comes to you with that kind of boldness, that kind of truthfulness. I had only known this person for less than an hour. And they said, I need a husband, a young lady. And I was like, of course, you know, raising three daughters. I'm a little tender towards young ladies. I'm more prone to beat up guys and say, okay, there's something wrong with you because you're a guy. And you're the same species, dated all three of my daughters, you know, right? But anyway, so I said, okay. I said, what kind of a husband? I thought, I'll just put it right back on her. She said, well, he needs to be taller than me. And she was kind of tall. I was, oh boy, okay. And he needs to have dark hair. I was like, wow, you got this narrowed down, yep. And he needs to love my son, because she was a single mom. She needs to love my son as much, if not more than me. Now that, those three things are pretty, and there was others. You know, he needs to have a good income. It reminded me of what's her name on Friends, you know. Are you employed? Are you this? Are you that? You know. And I mean, this was, I said, okay, here's the list. Cindy and I started praying for this list, okay? We didn't even realize it until it almost happened. She met this guy. He was driving up from Rapid City to help in our youth program, okay? They got married. They have, you know, all kinds of children now, her boy and her son. And the guy that she met did not have a positive male role model. She did not have a positive male role model. I mean, they just basically poured their life into Jesus, and they wanted their kids to be like Jesus. Their son was an intern to a Supreme Court justice a few years ago at the Supreme Court. The boy that she wanted her husband to love more than even herself. After they had been married about 2 years they'd been married, she was up here. They're living in Rapid, been living in Rapid for years. She was up here and she calls me and she said, Pastor Jim, I need to talk to you. We've got problems. And I go, okay. Ooh. So I met. She said, my husband loves my son so much I'm jealous of my son. I said, well, you prayed for it. And we prayed for it, and she realized that you know, she needed, it was a healthy thing. But that's hope. That's faith. That's looking at something that's not there. And now seeing it. And they've had all kinds of difficulties. Don't get me wrong. But they have a God-filled family, a Christ-filled relationship. And it's all because it's based on hope, based on faith, based on trust that God has placed within them. So this week, I want you to think about and write down some stuff on your hope list. I really do. I want you to. And get a little specific. You know? Sometimes we don't get specific. Well, I would just like, you know, Lord, could you help us with a car? You know, I was just like, I can drive anything. But Cindy, she started making a list. You know, and I honestly thought the only thing that was going to fit that list was like a Cadillac Escalade. I mean, really, it had to be a tank. And God just gave us this car at a good price, at the right place. Nobody else even looked at it. They traded it in that day, and we got to buy it that night. Because guess what? God takes care of the small stuff, but he takes care of the big stuff too. He takes care of the big stuff, okay? And then, with your hope list, start putting it to prayer. And you may call a friend. You may call Cindy. I say, hey, I got something on my hope list that I need somebody to help me with the heavy lifting here. And I want you to be praying. You know, we ask, you know, prayers about people's health and jobs, and, you know, you guys, we've been praying, and God's opening up some opportunities for them in Sioux Falls. It sucks to be us. They're going to Sioux Falls. You'll be back. And we're so happy that you are a part of this wonderful faith walk that God has given us, okay? So that's the first part, the first ingredient of faith. Here's the second one. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So many times we struggle with this, like, man, I don't know if I can be certain of something that I don't see. Well, we have to have faith. We got to be certain of unseen truths. And there's unseen truths in the spiritual, in the mental, and in the physical, okay? What is something unseen that you are certain of? I'm certain of God's love, and I can't see it other than, you know, really, I mean, think about it. We see the results of God's love, but have you ever questioned that love? Because you were in a situation where you weren't seeing as much love? Our oldest daughter has a saying, "Where's the love?" She jokes about it, but you know, sometimes, where's the love? Where's the love? But we are certain of an unseen God. We're certain of His love. Okay, that's where our faith starts, okay? We're certain that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We're certain that we're forgiven. We're certain that the Holy Spirit was sent on this earth. We're certain that He lives amongst us and within us. We're certain that God has given us all these great gifts. See, a lot of times we think, oh, I don't have enough faith to pray for the big things. But the big things are based on the small things. Under every house, there's a foundation. And under every foundation, there's gravel. And the gravel of our faith is all these small things that happen, that go on, that we don't even see because they're under the foundation. They're all these things. They're unseen. They're the foundation of our faith. So as we grow in our faith and as we build our faith, as we build all of the circumstance in our life, we build on that foundation of all those small things, okay? Here's a few things that are unseen that we know exist, but they're unseen. We know that gravity exists. And as long as you're not climbing without a rope, gravity is good. As long as the airplane is functioning, gravity is good, okay? We know gravity exists, don't we? I mean, we are on a giant merry-go-round and we're not getting flung off. That's gravity. We believe in. Here's another thing we believe in: microwaves. Huh? Can you see a microwave? How many of you used a microwave to heat something up this week, right? Huh? Or how about this? We believe in radio waves. You know, every one of us, you know, or a lot of us have smartphones. We got radio waves just pulsating out of our pockets right now, you know? The sound is turned off. Who knows what could be going on in my pocket right now, right? You know? And we believe, or ultraviolet rays. If you don't believe in ultraviolet rays, just go out in the sun for about 6 hours without protection. They exist. We can't see them, but they exist. It's amazing. How many things are unseen that exist? I want to look at a few things that are unseen, but yet we see the results of them in our faith. In Jeremiah 29, these are unseen things that God promises and supplies. Jeremiah 29:11, we know this one. For I know the promises I have for you. Do you notice God says, "I know the promises I have for you"? One time I was reading that, and I was like, you could share, right? Just a little bit further out, you know. I'd like to see more than down the block, you know. And he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have what? These are unseen plans. I have plans to prosper you and to not harm you, and plans to give you hope and a future." How about that? God says that I'm giving you hope, and I'm giving you more hope. It's a grace gifting, and you're going to get it more and more and more and more and more. So your faith becomes more and more and more and more and more. So your love can grow more and more and more and more and more towards God, so you can give more and more and more and more and more love towards people, so that you can even have faith in what God's doing in their lives, so that you can have hope for other people. Do you see how it spreads out? It's amazing. God says, here's something unseen. I got plans for you. And like I said, sometimes they're like, kind of like an outline, you know? And God says, go ahead and make some plans, but make them in pencil and give God the eraser. Because some of them are really good plans, and we know because God prospers those. But never stop trying. Never stop trying. Because God says, I got some plans, and you're going to have to snoop around a little bit. You're going to have to look. I've got plans to prosper you. I've got plans to give you hope. I've got plans to give you a future. And most of these things are unseen, yet we've seen the results in the past of his plans. I love his plans. You know, one of the greatest plans that ever happened to me, that God had for me, and I had no idea, was to marry a Catholic girl. Man, she straightened me out, I'll tell you. She kept me on the straight and narrow. God said, oh yeah, here's one. She's feisty. She can do this job. I'll let her marry that unruly person. Yeah. We have plans. God's given them to us. Here's another thing. We can have faith, and God has faith in us. So many times we don't think about this. And I want to go to Philippians 1 and 6, and we've read this scripture. Okay, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Think about it. God is at work in your life, right? Let's go to the next level. He sees something in you nobody else can see. I'm confident of this, Paul says, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out until completion. God saw a good work in you. God saw some stuff in you that he knew you could complete with his help. And so God says, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna do this for you. I see something in you that nobody else can see, and sometimes we can't even see it. God says, I see something in you that needs to be completed. And maybe nobody else can see it. Maybe some other people can see it and they encourage you, but sometimes it's an unseen thing. It's a totally unseen thing. 25 years ago, we came to Solid Rock Church because God says, I just want you to go there and do whatever needs to be done. Little did we know that part of that would be pastoring the church for the next 43, 43, 103, I don't care, years. Because God's got us here, and we know that we're here. We love being here. Because God had a good work. God had faith in us. God had faith in us. God says to us, and you, and me, and everybody else, I have faith in you. And look at what he says, until the day of completion. God says, I have so much faith in you that I'm never going to quit on you, and I'm going to see this thing done until Jesus Christ returns. A lot of times we read that verse and we just think that, you know, that Paul was confident, but Paul is talking about the confidence that God has in us. Not just the confidence that we have in God, but the confidence of God. I mean, look at those words. He says, I'm confident of this. God began a good work in you, and he will carry it out to completion. Why? Because he sees that good work, and he has faith in you. God is so amazing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, who was a part of the creation of the entire universe, came to this earth, was here for, you know, just a little over 30 years, and when he left the Great Commission to 12 bozos. And these guys were not the top of the social ladder. These guys were fishermen, you know, a tax collector. Excuse me. I'm not letting a tax collector be in charge of anything, right? I mean, God did that. He is confident. He has faith in what he has started in you. He has faith in you. He has chosen you because of a good work that he put in you, the beginning of creation, a good work that would come out in some way. Now, the last thing I want to talk about when it comes to faith is God's got this. God's got this. And so many times we forget that God's got this. We're in the middle of it. We're trying to drain the swamp, and we're surrounded by alligators, and it's like, really? And you know, sometimes we're the ones who jumped in the swamp in the first place, and then we expect God to pull us out. Boy, it got quiet. But you know, God says, I got this. I got this. I've shared this before, but I love this, okay? As an earthling, and that's what we are, it is very easy to believe that we're standing still. Okay, just, do you really feel a whole lot of movement? The wind's not blowing. Sometimes when the wind's blowing, you can feel this building. But you don't feel a lot of movement, do you? You feel pretty secure that you're kind of planted in one place, right? I mean, you know, we all have times where we're a little dizzy or whatever, and you know, but for the most part, okay, we're doing pretty good. Okay, do you realize that at the equator, the Earth is moving about 1,037 miles an hour, which means where we're at right now, it's moving about 736 miles an hour. You're moving 736 miles an hour right here, because we're about halfway up. Okay, so not quite halfway. So let's just say the Earth's spinning at about 1,000 miles an hour, okay? Now, that's not all that's happening, okay? Not only, if you want to go ahead and show, there's the Earth. We're spinning 1,000 miles an hour right there at the equator. I was pretty sure that I was moving faster when I was in Jamaica. Did you feel it, Casey? You didn't feel that quicker? So, okay. Maybe Kelsey did, I don't know. You know? But anyway, so then if we go out and we look at the Earth's spin, okay, and the Earth's course around the sun, let's look at this. Okay, there's our Earth right there, and it's going around the sun at approximately, okay, 67,000 miles an hour. So you're spinning at 1,000, and you're moving in a big circle at 67,000 miles an hour. It gets better. Okay, the sun and the solar system, let's go out one more. We're in there someplace, okay? Okay, our solar system appears to be moving at about 200 kilometers per second. If you figured out, the average speed is about 448,000 miles an hour. So we're going like this, we're going like this, and like this, and then this is going like this at 448,000 miles an hour, okay? It gets better. Go out one more. We're one of those. And our Milky Way, okay, is moving at about 70 miles per second, which doesn't seem like much, but if you figure miles per hour, it's moving 252,000 miles an hour towards the Andromeda Galaxy. And I want you to all start freaking out, just like the sustainability people are, because in 4 billion years, we're going to collide, okay? According to the world, okay? 4 billion years. But nothing much is going to happen for about 4 billion years, other than if you put all of those together, we are moving at 768,037 miles an hour through the universe. Who needs a spaceship? Now, God's got this. Think about it. God's got all of this under control, and nothing is running into each other. Teddy Roosevelt and a good friend used to go out, and they'd look at the stars at night. And then Teddy Roosevelt would say to his friend, who was an ecologist, he'd say, well, he said, I think we can feel sufficiently small enough now. Let's go to bed. We can feel sufficiently small enough, but we can also feel sufficiently aware that God's got this. Our faith in God is not so unseen, is it? When we think about all the things that are unseen that we've learned about, nobody knew how fast we were moving before. It was unseen for years and years and years. But everybody got up in the morning, and those of us that believed in God said, well, God, thank you for another beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. So I encourage you this week, realize that God's plans are unseen and they're for you. We can have faith in God because he has faith in us, and we can have faith in God because he's got this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you do have this. We thank you, Lord, that there's so much going on, and sometimes there's a lot going on in our lives, and we become overwhelmed and we forget just how much you've got this. Father, I pray that this week you will increase our hope list. You will remind us of those things that you've got us through in the past. And Lord, you will build our faith and grow our hope so that, Lord, we can understand you and have a greater understanding and love for who you are and what you're doing in our life. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.